Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Good morning, friends. My name is Reverend John Reynolds, and welcome to First United Methodist Church of Brighton and Whitmore Lake. We are a church that desires to help people know God, love God, and serve God. And we hope that this worship service today is part of your spiritual journey as you move throughout the course of this week. If you've been with us for a long time, we're so grateful to have you back. And if this is your first Sunday with us, we're so glad that you decided to make this your spiritual home. As we worship together this morning, we want to let you know that our worship service will have music led by our musicians here at the church, Eric, Mike, and Susan. And I also wanted to share with you that Pastor Lindsay will be bringing the message this morning. We hope that it touches your spirit and lifts you as you move through this week. Wanted to take a moment to invite you to share this worship service with other folks through social media. There's a share button at the bottom of this video feed. It looks like an arrow and the word share is next to it. We encourage you to click on that and just let people know that you're watching the worship service this morning. You never know who might be able to have their lives impacted and transformed by the words and the music that's shared this morning. As we gather together for worship, I pray God's Holy Spirit would be with us all as we continue to worship Jesus together this day. Amen.
Please join me for the opening prayer. Lord of all hopefulness, we bring our worries and griefs to you. We thank you for giving us hope when loss seems overwhelming. You are the light in our darkest days. Lift us up and bring us continually to new life in you. Amen.
Welcome to the January Mission Moment. My name is Bill Drabing, and I have the privilege of being the Missions Committee Chair for 2021. During this time, I wanted to highlight a few of the missions that are going on here in the life of this church and how you can get involved. Missions at our church means reaching out to helping people in need. Wishing people were healthy and clothed is great, but as I learn in the book of James, giving someone dental care along with the clothes and pants and shoes that do not have holes when they're cold is what we do. The 2021 mission of the year is Vena Dental Clinic, located right here on our Brighton campus. Vena's goal is to provide quality, affordable care for residents with limited finances and little to no dental care access, while upholding the professional standards of dentistry in a concerned and compassionate way. They continue to find new partners to create opportunities to provide dental care. In January, Vena has been able to double the number of hygiene appointments thanks to the volunteers from U of M Dental School. Vena is in need of a new x-ray machine now, and these are very costly. Please look for opportunities throughout the year to provide support. And when we're able to gather again inside, look for a chart that shows our progress toward meeting the goal of buying the equipment that will continue to change lives. Another mission we have going on in February is NOAA. NOAA stands for Networking, Organizing, and Advocating for the Homeless. This is a mission located at Central United Methodist Church, right next to where the Tigers play. Our church has been providing lunches for them since 2000, and they use these meals to begin a relationship with the homeless in Detroit that hopefully can end that cycle that they're in. Our church will make 300 lunches on the weekend of February 20th. Right now, we're looking for monetary donations to purchase the food. But to prepare the lunches, we're looking for three family groups to come in and assemble them. This is a family mission opportunity as children as young as four are able to help out in this safe environment within our church. There are many missions going on here in the Brighton and Whitmore Lake locations. We have missions designed for men. We have missions designed for women. We have missions designed for families. We bring hope, compassion, and love through our missions. And we see things need to be made better, and we act. If you want information on how you can be involved in changing the world through one of these opportunities, or if you have a great idea for a new mission, please fill out the online connection card and note it. Call the church or contact myself, and we'll put you in touch with a mission that will make a difference in your life and the people you are helping.
This morning's scripture reading is from John chapter 11, verses 32 through 44. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would have not died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him?" But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, there is already a stench because he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in cloth. Jesus said to him, "Unbind him and let him go." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Will you please join me now for a time of prayer? O holy and gracious God, on this Sunday morning we gather for worship throughout the community, and we gather in spirit and in truth, seeking you, God, seeking you who are a source of guidance, a source of refuge and strength, very present help in times of trouble. So God, we gather this morning seeking that we might hear a word, seeking that we might be moved by a scripture passage that it might speak to us in new and profound ways. Loving God, may the words of my mouth, may the meditations of all of our hearts, may it be pleasing in your sight. You God, who are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I remember the summer of 2002. I had just graduated from high school and I was looking forward to college in the fall. Just weeks after graduation, Mom felt a lump in her neck. She got it checked out, and soon after she was diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma, a type of cancer. I remember the summer of 2008, a few things had been off with my health as well, and so I got checked out by a few doctors, and shortly after I was diagnosed with Crohn's disease. It's an autoimmune disease disorder that I would live with for the rest of my life. I remember the fall of 2015. I had a newborn baby just a few weeks old, and among the celebrations of this precious new life, we got a call that my aunt had passed. She was in her early 40s, and she had struggled with lupus for many years. In moments like this, from 2002 to 2008 to 2015, in moments like this, I found myself asking why. Why, God? How come this happened? How come Mom went through cancer and I was diagnosed with Crohn's disease? And how come my aunt died at such a young age? You know, maybe you found yourself asking similar situations, asking similar questions if you've been in similar situations. In moments like these, really what we're processing and we're dealing with and we're wrestling with is grief. You see, we grieve not over the passing of people. We grieve not only over the passing of loved ones and dear friends, but we grieve in so many other ways. We grieve what could have been, or what should have been, or what we wanted to happen if things would have just gone in a different way, if things of life would have just gone in a different direction. We grieve in so many different ways. Mine are just a few examples. Over the past year, over the past 365 days, I think that us as individuals, but I would also imagine, of course, as a country, as a world, we've experienced a lot of grief. Some of us have mourned the loss of loved ones that have gone on to glory with God, loved ones that passed because of a heart attack or of old age or passed because of suicide or passed because of the pandemic. But it's not just those losses that we grieve. We grieve in so many ways. We grieve this pandemic, don't we? What were you doing 365 days ago on this first Sunday of February, the last Sunday of January, I should say, as we begin to turn the calendar into February? What were you doing this last Sunday of January? 365 days ago, life looked different. What were you doing? The pandemic yet had really to impact Michigan. People were still walking the streets freely, entering stores freely, masked. Free restaurants were packed on Friday nights and Saturday nights, and handshakes and hugs were given freely during worship on Sunday mornings. 365 days ago, March Madness was just about ready to kick off, and it was around the corner, and concert halls were filled, and Broadway theaters were sold out, and spring breaks and summer breaks were planned and booked and on the calendar. And then came the pandemic. March 2020. Michigan leaned into this new stay home, stay safe order, and life got turned upside down, right? What were you doing 365 days ago on this last weekend of January? Whatever you were doing, I'm sure life was different. It's changed. And along with it probably has come some grief. Grief over the loss of a job, maybe, and a new struggle for identity. Grief over the things canceled or rescheduled or adapted. Grief over the unwelcomed changes in the new ways of life. Grief over the countless things that are out of our control, building with one frustration to another. Grief of those hoped for dreams that didn't quite play out as we had desired. Grief over the high school graduation or the wedding or the retirement celebration or the funeral you couldn't attend because of COVID. Grief over not getting to see your family or your friends across the nation or around the world or really even in your own backyard in the same ways. Grief because of burnout and exhaustion and trying to balance it all. Too often life presents these plans and these things that take place that were out of our plans. Life presents these events we hadn't expected. And in all of these situations, grief can fill our lives and make it so we're really asking these deep questions, these pondering questions, these theological questions, these life questions that people have wrestled with over the years, over the century. There are questions like, why? How come, God? Lord, it doesn't make any sense. Help me to understand. Those kind of questions. And so where do we go from here? We know the reality, and we know our own personal lives, and where do we go from here? What scripture can we lean into this morning? What scripture can we turn to for a time of comfort that we might cling to it? I think an appropriate scripture for us to consider this morning is a story about two sisters, Mary and Martha, and their brother Lazarus. Lazarus was a good friend of Jesus, so was Mary and Martha. And as I begin to read this scripture, I want you to know a little bit of this context. As I read to this Bible story, I want you to know that Lazarus has recently passed. He's recently died. His sisters, Mary and Martha, are just in this moment of being steeped in grief. And as Jesus comes to speak to them, he first speaks to Mary, and then throughout their whole conversation, know that in the background, there's this great supportive community, there's this great supportive love surrounding these two sisters as they're mourning the loss of their brother Lazarus. And then an incredible miracle takes place. So I'm reading from John's Gospel, chapter 11, verse 32 through 34. Hear now the word of God. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt down at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." And when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit, and he was deeply moved. Jesus said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." And then Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, See how he loved him? But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. And Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead for 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, and I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." And when he had said this, he cried out in a loud voice, saying, "Lazarus, come out." And the dead man, he came out, his hands and his feet, they were bound with strips of cloth, and his face was also wrapped in cloth. And Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. As Mary spoke to Jesus in her grief and in her pain, she echoed this phrase. She said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." That's a powerful, honest moment in Scripture. We turn to the Scripture text. "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." You can feel the grief bubbling up within her. You can hear that anger in her voice. Can you relate to Mary? Have you ever felt angry towards God? Have you ever cursed God's name and shouted in rage? Have you ever raised your voice and said, "God, if you had been here then?" And you can kind of fill in the blank. It's okay if you've ever felt that way. It's okay if you can relate to Mary. Certainly I have felt that way as well. Sometimes I think, church, there is this perception that it's not okay to admit that we're angry or admit that we're feeling angry towards God. But it is okay to be angry. It is okay to be hurt. It's okay to call out to God in times of praise, but it's also okay to be very honest with what's going on with ourselves and turn to God in prayer and express that. God can hear our prayer. God can handle it. God can see our pain. We don't have to run from it. God can handle our hurt. We don't have to try to push it away. We can acknowledge it. We can be our very real selves before God in prayer. I would imagine that Mary and Martha, that they were feeling really hurt. They had watched their brother Lazarus pass, and they had wrapped him in grave clothes, and now 4 days later, Jesus came. And I would imagine that Mary was really angry, rightfully so. I mean, why hadn't he showed up on time from her perspective? You know, perhaps Mary and Martha, in their perspective, perhaps they felt abandoned or alone. I would imagine that's how Mary felt. And all of the times in her life and all the times that she felt that she needed God most, that she wanted Jesus present, in her perspective, she felt like Jesus was late to show up, 4 days late. And so she cried out, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died." It's a beautiful, honest moment that we're able to read about in Scripture. In response to seeing that Lazarus had died, and in response to seeing Mary's broken heart, Jesus wept too. He missed his friend Lazarus, and he grieved right there alongside Mary and Martha. All that Jesus could first do as he entered the scene, as he met Mary and Martha there, all he could do was weep. And I think Jesus has been doing a lot of weeping with us this past year too. Weeping over people that have been ill and weeping over people whose lives have been lost. Jesus has been with us weeping in our greatest time of need. For the loved one that you lost, Jesus weeps. For the hardship that you've gone through, Jesus weeps. For the health diagnosis, or the global pandemic, or the broken relationships, or the plans that didn't turn out as you had really hoped, Jesus weeps. All those moments when you filled your pillow with tears, Jesus was right there weeping alongside of you. In all these moments of life, Jesus has been right there by your side. He's never left it and he never will. But it isn't just Jesus that's there in the pain and the grief and in the sorrow and the heartache, but there's this gathered community by your side called the church. Called to embrace you. And so after weeping, Jesus called that greater gathered community that had been around Mary and Martha. He called them to roll away the stone, and he called that community surrounding Mary and Martha, that community that had been providing love and support and compassion, and asked of them something else. He asked them to help push that stone away. They pushed it away, they rolled it away, and then he called Lazarus out from the tomb, and he gave them one final assignment, and that was to unbind him and let him go. What unbinding and letting go needs to take place in your life? Who do you need around you to help you do it? Let's face it, we can't live life alone. We need each other. We need our community. We need our church. And over the past year, we've primarily been doing that through physically distanced methods, not socially distanced, but physically we have been distanced. Socially, we have tried to remain connected. And the need certainly has remained the same, to be with each other in community, to love one another, to support one another, and to be reminded that Jesus is there right beside us, helping us press on and placing hope within us. Our hope can be placed in Jesus. So if you're mourning the loss of a loved one right now, if your grief is so very real, and if you could use some extra love and extra support, of course, your pastors and your church community is here for you. But I'd also like you to be invited. I'd also like to extend this invitation to you to join a new grief support group we're starting at the church. This grief support group is going to be led by Reverend Latha Ravi. She preached for us the first Sunday of January, so you maybe remember her then. She works at the Samaritan Counseling Center. Reverend Ravi is an ordained elder in the United Methodist Church and has a Master of Social Work with an emphasis in clinical practice and mental health from the University of Michigan. Reverend Ravi is a wonderful friend and co-worker of a colleague in the Methodist Church with Pastor John and I, and you would be blessed to know her. Her grief support group is on Saturday mornings at 10 o'clock on Zoom. And if that sounds like something that you might be interested in, call the church office that we can help get you registered, or visit our church website to get registered online. There is a community of support and love and encouragement waiting for you. Frederick Buechner is a preacher and an author and a theologian who once said that resurrection means that the worst thing is never the last thing. Life doesn't promise to be free of grief. We think back about the past 365 days and over the course of our life, and certainly life is not free of grief, but through our grief, we are promised that God's with us, and through our grief over people or situations or dreams that didn't come into light, we can cling to the hope of knowing that Jesus is there. Gosh, Jesus is always there. That's the power of resurrection. Our hope is found in knowing that from this life to the next, God is a God of resurrection, bringing out new life in the worst of circumstances. When Jesus was nailed to the cross on Good Friday, that wasn't the end of the story. Though we thought the worst had possibly taken place, that was not the end of the story. Resurrection hope was coming. God at work, transforming situations and circumstances, is what we can cling to. Through the resurrection, we find this hope. We can find this healing. We are reminded that death never has the final word. Goodness and light and life and hope are that final word. Death never has the final word. Life prevails from this into the next, and hope can shine through. Hope can shine through. So I remember and think back to that summer of 2002 when Mom's cancer diagnosis took place, but I also remember the day when she kicked cancer's butt. Hope shines through. And I can think back to 2008 when I was diagnosed with Crohn's disease, but I also remember the day when I received relief thanks to modern medicine. Modern medicine. Hope shines through. And I remember the fall of 2015 when my aunt passed away in her early 40s, but I also remember the day when I visited her grave and gave thanks to God for her and the way she impacted my life, and I felt her loving presence there, and hope shined through. While life keeps going, bringing forth hardships and beautiful moments, the amazing great God of the universe is with us through it all and weeps when we weep and holds us in the palm of his hand, loving us when we're weak and we can hardly keep going on. Hope shines through. So where might the next 365 days take us? What might God have in store for us, both as individuals and as a church? Well, that journey is unknown, and the experiences along the way are yet to be discovered. Will there be moments of grief? Yeah, perhaps. Will there be moments of opportunity to support one another in community, just like Mary and Martha received from that other community? Of course, no doubt there will be those moments. We don't know where those next 365 days might take us. We don't always fully know what the next year might have before us, but what we can know for certain, what we can count to be true, is that Jesus will be there each step of the journey. And he'll weep when we weep, and he'll mourn when we mourn, and he'll support us each step and call that great gathered community called the church to be there with us. And that's great and fabulous news. So what might the next 365 days look like? Let's see. Let's take it one day at a time, one moment at a time, one minute at a time, and wherever it takes us, we know that Jesus is there. The worst thing is never the last thing. Hope shines through. Amen.
Good morning. I'm Carol Kapuska. I'm your worship hostess for this morning. And as you know, today's theme of what we worry about in the late night, early morning hours has been grief. Fortunately, I have not experienced the grief of losing a loved one during these times. But as with all of you, I have experienced the loss and the grieving of normalcy. And so that is what I focused on to create my prayer for all of us today. The loss and grief of many things, but for me, the loss of being able to see all of you, to worship with you, to hold your hand as we shake hands, as we hug, as you just talk together. That loss. the loss of being inside the church and the sanctuary, the loss of driving in the parking lot, finding our usual parking space, the loss of driving to church, listening to the same station and the radio that comes on before you go to church, all of that, the normal things that happen, just grieving and hoping and praying that we will be able to get back to some sense of normal. So pray with me. Good and gracious God, today we've delved into the difficult topic of grief and loss in our exploration of what keeps us up at night. A topic that we fear, that makes us feel so out of control, so alone. There are so many ways that we may be grieving or feeling loss. Death of a loved one, loss of a job, the loss of freedoms while we fight this virus, or just an overall loss of some certainties. Help us to find calm and support with the resources that we have in our lives, but also to lean on you in our time of need. To remember that you are our rock. We pray that you lift us up from the depths of our grief, that you guide our eyes toward your light. We pray that for all of the blessings that you have given us in our lives, that you will help us to see those blessings amongst the darkness. For the remembrances that your will is being done, even when we don't understand it, even when it hurts, feels uncertain, or weighs heavy on our mind, comfort our hearts. As we lift our hands to heaven, fill us with your spirit. As we bury our body under the blankets to hide from life, remind us that your comfort is still there. It burrows through all of that that's in the way to find us, your child in need. Because of you, there's always hope on the horizon. We pray to you for guidance to realize that hope. Help us to open our hearts to others to help with their grief and loss, and in turn, help with our own. You created us with gifts that bring us together as a community, even as different as we all are, a community of faith, understanding, and hope. We celebrate you in our lives during these times of grief. Sing songs of praise to your name. We look to you during this transition into a new governmental leadership. We use your lessons to teach us how to love our neighbor, even when they do not think as we do. And we pray for those neighbors who are grieving a loss, perhaps a loss that we can't even comprehend. Our prayers do not require an understanding of that situation, but only a voice from us, whether from our mouths or our heart. But let us now speak out loud that prayer that you taught us. Let us speak it together as one voice from all of the places in which we are, and together let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
I wanted to share with you two beautiful prayer quilts that our Prayers and Squares ministry has made. And this is the first one, and I have another beautiful prayer quilt to show, a second one that has been made. And these prayer quilts are being shared with folks connected to our congregation. And we offer these prayer quilts in a spirit of love, in a spirit of grace. And so I would invite you to extend an arm out, even as you're worshiping from home, to extend an arm out a blessing, that we might bless these prayer quilts and remember the folks that will be receiving them, that every time that they wrap up in this blanket, not only do they feel God's loving, warm embrace, but that they might know how much First United Methodist Church of Brighton and Whitmore Lake is caring for them and surrounding them in love and prayer. So extend an arm of blessing, and let's bless these quilts together. O holy and sacred God, God of compassion and grace, we ask blessings upon the people that will receive these blankets, these beautiful quilts. Oh, loving God, may they know the unending love from you, and may they feel the care from this congregation. In Christ's holy name we pray, amen.
We're grateful for the many ways that God calls us to be a faithful church. And one of the ways that we can be faithful to God's call in our life is to respond with our gifts and offerings. And we encourage you, if you have a moment, you can take just a short 30 seconds to go online to our website, to the Give tab. It's very easy to give online. We also invite you to send a check through the mail to support the ministries that take place here at the church. You can also give through PayPal, and you can even text to give. There are multiple giving options and ways of supporting the ministries of our church. We invite you to give generously so that the ministry here can continue to flourish and continue to be a blessing to the lives of so many people in our community and around the world. Let us give generously as God has given to us.
As we end this time of worship, I first want to lift up a couple of announcements. First is that, again, that invitation to be a part of the grief group led by Reverend Latha Ravi on Saturday mornings. I'd encourage you to at least go to our website and read more about it, or reach out to Pastor John or I. We'd be happy to help answer any questions. The second thing I would encourage you to do is to go online and fill out that connection card. We always love to know that you're here. And on that connection card, on the registration, there's an opportunity for you to sign up for a Lenten study coming up. An opportunity to grow with one another in community, to dig into scriptures, and to turn to our Lenten study this year, a book by Adam Hamilton called The Way, Walking in the Footsteps of Jesus. We'd encourage you to get connected to one of those study groups. And now, may the love of God be with you. May the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ fill you. May the power of the Holy Spirit be upon you, that you might go out into this world to be Christ's real hands and presence, that you might offer love and compassion to a world in need, that you might minister to a friend or a church member who's experiencing grief of their own. Offering compassion in Jesus' name. Go forth to be the church. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You were invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.